KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM.
When our values are under assault, when our sovereignty is invaded, when our Constitution is in tatters, when political correctness is on the march, it's time to mobilize. The war of ideas has begun. Welcome to the arsenal. Welcome to the Chris Kobach Show.
I can't believe.
Oh, I really can't believe the news today. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Chris Kobach Show this Sunday evening. The number is 576-7710 if you want to join the discussion. 576-7710. Turning the page now. Did you see this? This story just came in the last couple days, maybe yesterday. Knightstown, Indiana. Knightstown, Indiana. Small town. The city of Knightstown has been sued by, you guessed it, the ACLU. And what has the ACLU sued this little town for? Well, 'tis the season. Just in time for Christmas, they've sued the little town over their Christmas display. And this Christmas display isn't a manger. We've seen many ACLU lawsuits challenging cities that have a nativity display. No, this ACLU lawsuit is because the city of Knightstown has a Christmas tree, and on top of this Christmas tree, instead of a star, there is a lighted cross. And so the Grinches at the ACLU have said that a lighted cross is causing, wait for it, irreparable harm to the plaintiff, a guy named Joseph Tompkins. Here's what the lawsuit states. The cross is the best known symbol of Christianity, and Knightstown's prominent display of this symbol represents an establishment of religion in violation of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. And the plaintiff, Mr. Tompkins, alleged that he is, quote, forced to come into direct and unwelcome contact, unquote, with the cross as he drives through town. Only a bizarre left-wing attorney could come up with that phrase. It's direct and unwelcome contact. I have to look at it when I drive past City Hall. Well, no, actually, you don't have to drive past City Hall. And you don't have to look at it. And it's not actually contact if you're driving past the Christmas tree, which evidently the Christmas tree is no problem. Of course, the ACLU would allege the Christmas tree is a problem, but they've lost that battle. And so, which, you know, of course, the Christmas tree is almost like a secular thing, but there's a cross on top of it, and so that cross is offensive. And never mind that the star that is on top of many Christmas trees is itself a Christian symbol, because it is the star of the star over Bethlehem, the star of, you know, this is the star of the nativity of Christ. And so, you know, but I guess they haven't ACLU, or I haven't heard about whether they've sued over a star, but the cross, absolutely a more prominent symbol of Christianity. And the ACLU doesn't want any crosses on any Christmas trees in America. We can't have that, so they say. So anyway, a resident of the town, a guy named Mark Tompkins, says there's a church on every corner here. There's a, if he is offended, there's a corner. He says, so there's a church on every corner. Is he offended by those crosses? You know, I guess he's only offended by the crosses that are on public property. And one of the locals who owns a hardware store came up with a perfect solution for the plaintiff in this ACLU lawsuit. He says, quote, I think we can find people in this town that can replace the 0.0004 cents to give him and not have to worry about it. End quote. In other words, each resident is paying roughly 0.0004 cents for the Christmas tree, which happens to have the display, which happens to have a cross above it. You know, this is just another example of this ongoing cultural war. Lefties and the mainstream media say, oh, there's no cultural war. There's no war against Christianity by the ACLU. What do they call this exactly? This is unreal. And by the way, The ACLU's lawsuit, aside from being completely bogus in terms of its understanding of the Constitution, the ACLU's lawsuit is having the opposite effect. The town's Christian people, and I imagine even some people who aren't especially Christian, are reacting to it by passing out crosses, putting them on their cars, their homes, their businesses. They've launched a Facebook group called Knightstown Christmas Tree, with Christ in capital letters, then M-A-S, and then tree. Knightstown Christmas or Christmas Tree. And they're digging in. And so it appears that this the good people of Knightstown are going to fight back against the ACLU. See, what the ACLU does is they take on small towns who don't have a full-time city attorney, and they threaten legal fees. They say if you lose this lawsuit, you're going to have to pay our legal fees, which unfortunately is the case if they're bringing a suit under the federal statute 42 USC 1983, which you don't need to remember, but bottom line, that's the federal civil rights suit statute. But only if the ACLU wins the case, and that'll depend entirely upon which judges are randomly assigned to the case. I wish I could say it depended on the words of the Constitution, but unfortunately, in federal courts today, in a case like this, it depends more on which judges you get than on what the actual claim is. So this is a completely bogus claim. There's no establishment of religion if a cross happens to be atop a Christmas tree. You know, the establishment of religion, as the Founding Fathers understood that phrase, was to have an official state religion, official religion of the state of Illinois, official religion, in this case, of the state of Indiana. There is no such thing. There's no establishment of religion. And the cross has a connection with the Christmas festivities, because after all, the Christmas festivities are about the birth of Christ. And, you know, I just think the ACLU's constant crusade is so pathetic here, because they're fighting against a cross on a Christmas tree. And the Christmas tree is there because of Christmas, and Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Christ. And while they're at it, they may as well sue anyone who uses the modern way of denoting years, which we've used for 2,000 plus years. The year is, of course, after all, 2016 A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. That would be a reference to Christ, too. There are references to Christ and to Christianity all around us, and the ACLU is driven to erase all of them. So we'll talk about this issue, too. I want to... we got a lot of things to talk about tonight. So we got this lawsuit of the ACLU against the city of Knightstown, Indiana. We've got the sanctuary cities issue, where these cities are now standing in open defiance of Donald Trump. And we've got yet another case of Americans killed at the hands of illegal aliens. So a lot of developments in the news. So what I'm going to do is take a break. If you want to call on either issue, illegal immigration or the latest ACLU outrage, the latest ACLU lawsuit, we'll take your calls on either topic here on the Chris Kobach Show. The number is 576-7710. We'll be right back here on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
KCMO.
Visit OverheadDoorKansasCity.com or call 816-512-1512.
Hey, this is Mark Comfort, owner of Cruise Holidays and Comfort Tours, inviting you to join me and Dick and Renee of 94.9 Radio at the spectacular El Dorado Seaside Suites in the beautiful Riviera Maya area of Mexico. And this is in the heart of winter, February 5th through the 10th, nonstop flight. Adults only, ultra all-inclusive property. This brand new property you will absolutely love. Dick and Renee will be broadcasting live from this property again February 5th through the 10th. Give us a call today to find out more at 816-505-1500 or online cruiseholidayskc.com. That's cruiseholidayskc.com. And don't miss out if you want to have a pre-Valentine's Day sweetheart get-together with your sweetheart. Maybe renew your vows with the Reverend Dick Wilson and the Reverend Renee. Anyway, give us a call today at 816-505-1500. That's 505-1500.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp with Chris Butler, portfolio manager and host of Capitalist Pigs. Now, Chris, it seems like there's a lot of headwinds facing the markets today. There's a change in the White House. schizophrenic economy, and a Fed that wants to hike interest rates. So what should investors be doing right now?
Well, that's a good question, Greg. Investors should be well-diversified, and they should follow the trends as they change over time. Portfolios should be arranged so that if we get another 50% drop in stocks, investors can live to play another day. And I use that 50% figure because we know that can happen. It's happened twice in the last 16 years.
Yeah, tell me. Now, you don't just look at stocks. You're looking at bonds and real estate too, right?
That's right. We're looking at many different asset classes, including stocks, bonds, gold, currencies, real estate, and others.
That's a lot of stuff right there. That's a lot of potential diversification. You've got a free report, and it explains all this in more detail. So where can people find that report?
They can go to investontrack.com. Again, investontrack.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink of my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior. And I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, let's do lunch.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
This is KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Well, the number is 576-7710. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about more Americans killed by illegal aliens in recent weeks. Sanctuary cities thumbing their nose at federal law and telling Donald Trump, we don't care if you take away our federal money. And yet another ACLU lawsuit against a small town in America because of what? Having a cross on top of the Christmas tree. All right, let's go to the phones. Next up is Craig in Prairie Village. Craig, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Yeah, Chris, good to hear you. First time I've been able to talk to you since the election.
Yeah.
To have the Trump as our president.
It is.
And I do believe that these sanctuary cities are going to have to start obeying the law. And it's funny how on the left, the Democratic side, how they can ignore laws unless they want to enforce them for their own profit, code violation, speeding, whatever,
yeah,
on it. So they selectively enforce the law, which has always been the case because you can't catch every crime. You know, it's just, you just don't have enough manpower. But to selectively do it and ignore the population when the rule of law is what made this country great is terrifying.
Yeah.
And I've really been on this for a long time. But I do believe that things will change. But there's a couple things I want to point out that I've learned since the election. And your name's brought up periodically about, oh, Kobach would be the worst thing if you got this deal and that deal and whatever. And basically make fun of the fact that since you've tried 5 cases and you know, whatever. But they've intentionally made it where you can't catch voter fraud. And it was either on Mark Levin or Sean Hannity. They were defending somebody making fun of you and saying, well, hey, pulled out a study from back east, and I think it was 4 to 6 years ago, that they said approximately 6 to 8% of the populace in presidential elections are people that should not be voting, illegal, multi-votes, and all that. So if you take 6 or 8% out of 125 million, that's 7 to 8 million people that voted in this last election that shouldn't be voting, majority of them being illegal, and majority voting the Democratic ticket. So how unfair is that? Because you don't have a method of being able to double check anybody, you know. So
you're bringing up something that I was in the news about a little bit, maybe a week or so ago. Yeah, I pointed out that yet another study, I think a different one than the one you're referring to, which was done by a massive survey. Called the Cooperative Congressional Election Study, a survey of 32,000 people, and they found 32,000 plus, and they found that of the non-citizens who were surveyed, which was a large chunk of that 32,000, that 11% of them said, "Yeah, I voted in the presidential election of 2008." 11% of aliens residing in the United States, and if you do the math and you apply that 11% to the current population of aliens residing in the United States, which is a reasonable thing to do, that the same percentage of aliens are probably voting this time around, you get 3.2 million aliens voting in the current presidential election. And I said that in defense of what Donald Trump was saying, and the media just went ballistic. Oh my goodness, you can't use real numbers and real facts to support something that we disagree with. It was just amazing. They love to support tout academic studies when supporting some liberal theory. But here is an actual survey of what the aliens residing in the United States are themselves claiming. 11% claimed that they voted in 2008. I just said, okay, let's just take that number and apply it to 2016. That's 3.2 million aliens.
Well, see, this is what it really, the fact that they let the aliens vote. Again, goes back to the rule of law, fence and the whole deal.
Well, and that's why, as Secretary of State of Kansas, I was so determined, and ultimately, I'm glad to say, successful in getting a proof of citizenship system in. And we are one of only 4 states that do this. The other states are Arizona, Georgia, and Alabama. In the other 46 states, it's easy as can be for any alien to register to vote, and they do register to vote, especially in states like California. They just sign your name, you check the box that says I'm 18, checks the box that says I'm a U.S. citizen, and half the time the aliens don't even know what the boxes are that they're checking, and then they sign their name, and they are falsely swearing to be a U.S. citizen.
Well, I do want to say one thing about your new law, and I call it your new law. It's our new law. The state of Kansas is a great law. I had to early vote this year. Periodically, I do for various reasons. And this is the first time I went down to early voting. They're off Lamar and Johnson Drive.
Yep.
And what in there, and I did not see a group of what I could readily see were illegal aliens that couldn't speak English, had to have somebody go up and help them vote. You know,
And you'd seen that in past elections?
Yeah, not in this election, but in past elections prior. I've gone down there. This is only the third time I had early vote. But I did not see a group of people. At that time, they couldn't even ask for photo ID. You know what I'm saying? I was so proud to be able to show my voter ID, or just my ID, and be able to vote and feel fairly comfortable that everybody in that line was an American citizen and had the right to vote. I mean,
amen.
I mean, it just made me feel like maybe slowly but surely we're working towards a positive goal that this country was intended to be run on, you know, a citizen's vote, not illegal votes.
And it makes so much sense. And if you look at the polling on this of Kansans, roughly 80% plus of Kansans want proof of citizenship, and about 80% want photo ID too. So 4 out of 5 Kansans think this is perfectly reasonable, and they're right. It's only the 20% who think that, you know, they see a violation of the Constitution in every shadow, and they say they have whatever bizarre reason they have for wanting to allow people to just claim they're U.S. citizens without proving it to vote. And same thing with the illegal immigration. You know, you look at the polling, the vast majority of Americans want us to enforce our laws. It's only the radical open borders left that wants us to ignore the law.
Well, the other thing about the rule of law, it's funny how the left can waive the rule of law, whether it's sanctuary cities, Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, or up there at the pipeline. All of those people have broken local laws, camped out on federal land, and they are allowed to do so. But you get a conservative, quote-unquote, down in Arizona and then up in Idaho, and somebody gets killed and they arrest everybody as they come off. So that's, you know, that is a policy of selective enforcement and absolutely wrong. It tells me you better not let people know that you're of a conservative vein because you go back to, the 2010 Tea Party deal. I mean, those people were not only denied 401s or whatever it was they were applying for, they were audited. So they, you know, use the federal government against a person's political views.
And this is and that's the ultimate threat to the rule of law when you have a situation where the law enforcers are selectively enforcing for political reasons. As you pointed out earlier, there's never 100% enforcement of any law, so there's always going to be some people who get away with breaking the law. But as long as there's no political motivation and there's no determination by the state that we're just not going to enforce some laws because we don't like them, we can tolerate less than 100% enforcement. But when the decisions are made for political reasons and the president's allies are benefited and the president's opponents are prosecuted, that's when we lose the foundation of our republic. We have to have neutral enforcement of all laws. If a law shouldn't be enforced, then let's have Congress repeal the law.
Is there one law for everybody?
Exactly.
Shouldn't be a law to protect this sector of the population and that sector. One law is all you need. And the one thing about hate crimes, I go back to George Bush in 2020 when he was 2000 when he was running. I mean, the guy got the death sentence for, I guess, towing a black man behind his automobile. And George says, "What do you want me to do? Kill him twice?" I mean, if the law is enforced, you're going to get the outcome that you should be. You know, and I don't believe in added penalties. I believe the law should be written in a manner that you get the proper sentencing for what you've done. And when you just have to keep picking segments of society out and give them special legal benefits. And my biggest complaint that I have is how they allow the Sierra Club and all these left-wing people have standing, but a common citizen does not have standing.
Well, that's another whole issue, and I could talk about it for an hour of how federal courts, you know, judges sometimes they seem to find standing for a liberal to bring a case, but when a conservative or a conservative group wants to bring a case, they conclude that the plaintiffs have no standing to sue. So it's pretty outrageous, but I have to say that there are a lot of things that are not exactly consistent with the law that are coming from our federal courts these days. And that's another reason why we've got to have originalist justice on the Supreme Court, and thank goodness Trump has been elected so that we can have better judges.
Yeah, well, I have a question for you. Do you think there's a possibility of you, I don't want to say cabinet position, but having a position within Trump's team? I mean, I know you consult with him on the immigration factor.
Right now, I've got so much to do in Kansas that I'll be quite happy staying here in the Sunflower State. But, you know, if they need me, I'll certainly listen. And I have been in regular contact with Mr. Trump and with the team. So either way, we will have allies in Washington, people who believe in the rule of law. Hey, we've got to run. We are up against a break. Thanks again for the call, Craig. We'll be right back, folks, here on the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO.
KCMO.
Whether you want to make a living or you just want a little more from your investments, Power Trading Radio with me, Christopher Crum, can make the difference. Sign up for a free introductory class at tradingacademy.com or listen to the show Saturdays at 3 and Sundays at 1.
Vitacraft cookware, made right here in Shawnee, Kansas. Professional chefs around the world use Vitacraft, including celebrity chef Tyler Florence. Specially designed stainless steel cast handles. They're sturdy, cook evenly, and so easy to clean.
New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer is one of four senators launching an investigation into Russian hacking of the U.S. election. On Face the Nation, Arizona Republican John McCain said, while President-elect Donald Trump rejects the CIA conclusion, there's no doubt about Russia's meddling.
It's clear the Russians interfered. Now, whether they intended to interfere to the degree that they were trying to elect a certain candidate, I think that's a subject of investigation. But the facts are stubborn things. They did hack into this campaign.
On Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace asked Mr. Trump how things will work if he doesn't trust the CIA.
These are the folks you're going to have to rely on to know what's going on in the world.
Of course, they've made changes, you know, at the top. I mean, we're going to have different people coming in because we have our people, they have their people.
CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
Partly cloudy skies tonight and cold. Temperatures in the 20s. That's how we'll wake up early Monday morning with breaks of sun as we continue through the morning hours. Now during the afternoon, it's going to be a few degrees warmer with highs reaching the low to mid 40s. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. A healthy birth is the dream of every parent. But for hundreds of thousands of families with a baby born too soon, the reality is their baby's first home is the newborn intensive care unit. It's the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. This is a crisis that knows no boundaries. 15 million babies are born prematurely worldwide. Nearly 1 million will die before their first birthday. Do something today. Help the March of Dimes provide education and support to families and fund life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Christmas music is back on 94.9 KCMO.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so
When you're
delightful.
Ready for the sounds of the season, we'll be there to make your Kansas City Christmas classic.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's Christmas.
94.9 KCMO. Kansas City's greatest Christmas hits.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Why don't you talk into the microphone? I got a backup mic right here. Check, 1, 2. Testing, testing.
KCMO, Kansas City. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
I never dreamed that any mere physical experience could be so stimulating.
KCM.
Oh!
KCMO.
KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM.
He's the ACLU's worst nightmare because he knows the Constitution and fights to keep them from making confetti of it. He's Chris Kobach. And this is the Chris Kobach Show.
talking about yet another case of Americans killed by an illegal alien, in this case, an illegal alien in the Louisville, Kentucky area, who was deported 8 times and just kept coming back, coming back. And part of the reason he kept coming back, I say, is that the, the Obama Justice Department did not make it a priority to prosecute previously deported felons when they commit the crime of reentry. And this guy was caught again and again and again, and the Obama Justice Department didn't do anything about it. And so now we have two Americans dead. 576-7710 is the number. Let's go back to the phones. I think we've got a full switchboard right now, so wait till somebody hangs up. Next up is Bruce Leawood. Bruce and Leawood. Bruce, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Hey, I got a couple questions real quick. First one, you know, the sanctuary cities, they're talking about even if Trump cuts the funding, they're still going to function on their own. Is that actually possible? Will they have enough funds to function, or what's your take on that?
Well, it depends on the city, but most cities are not willing to lose federal money, because if the city has any highway projects underway, they've got a huge amount of federal dollars that they are dependent upon. But let's imagine a city that didn't have any federal dollars coming in. Even that city could be at the receiving end of a federal effort to stop a sanctuary city, and that is that the Trump administration, if it so chose, under Attorney General Sessions, could sue and seek a judicial injunction, a court order forcing the city to drop its sanctuary ordinance. So that's another option. That's a more time-consuming option. It takes a lawsuit. It requires a judge who's going to enforce the law, and sometimes you don't get a judge who's willing to enforce the law. And so, you know, it's a longer-term option. But the easy, quick option is to take away the federal money, and a lot of cities, I think, will start falling into line.
Right. And, you know, Trump was the only candidate on either side that talked about the illegal alien birthright citizenship, and I thought that's a huge problem, and I'm glad he identified it. He hasn't talked about that in about a year, though. Is he still going through with that, or what's the situation there, you know?
Well, you know, a lot of it will depend on sort of the initial rollout of the administration and the courts as well. That one will definitely be tied up in lawsuits, whatever the Trump administration ultimately does on the subject. But I do know that he, I've spoken about that issue with him, and he understands it. He recognizes that there's nothing in the United States Constitution that says an illegal alien, that the child of an illegal alien becomes a U.S. citizen. That is not what the 14th Amendment states. So he knows about the issue. He's certainly well aware of the issue, and we'll see. But I think, you know, it's amazing that we have a president who actually will talk about it. You know, so many previous Republican presidential candidates, and I'm talking about Romney, and I'm talking about McCain, and I'm talking about Bush, they just don't even want to talk about it. They don't even want to talk about these clear issues of law and constitution because they're afraid of offending someone by even talking.
I mean, right.
It's this kind of paralysis of Republicans, which has finally come to an end with Donald Trump. And thank goodness that a president who speaks his mind, a candidate who speaks his mind, can win. And he's just reset the dial completely. He's recalibrated American politics. And thank goodness.
Right. Yeah. I just want to make sure he's not giving up on that birthright citizenship issue, because he was literally the only one. I didn't even hear Cruz talk about it, that brought up that issue. That's a huge magnet for illegal aliens coming here, and I'm concerned about that, and I hope he doesn't give up on it.
And it is empirically a magnet for some, because if you ask any ICE officer or Border Patrol officer in Texas, in particular, where there's a hospital in Dallas, which seems to be the destination of so many people coming across the border, pregnant. There are thousands of pregnant women who are arrested coming across the southern border of the United States, and they're coming across pregnant, endangering themselves and the unborn child so that they can have the baby in the United States.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's all I have to say.
So. All right. Well, hey, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it, Bruce. All right, let's go next to Ted in Gladstone. Hey, Ted, you're with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Hi, Chris. It's Ed.
It's Ed. Sorry, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm all right. And I've spoken to you about this before, but whenever I hear about people being killed by illegal immigrants, it always brings to mind the sort of the undocumented deaths to U.S. citizens by infectious disease, because In 2004, there was a study done of ICE detainees, and 1% of them had either multi-drug resistant or drug resistant TB. In the summer of 2016, the CDC warned all the people who were working with all those kids that were coming over without parents that they all needed to make sure that they were all vaccinated against communicable diseases, because these kids were identified as a source of communicable diseases. And once they get out in the country, I mean, one of the things that happens when people immigrate is they get tested, for particularly for TB, and they get treated. But with these people who come across illegally, they aren't tested. So they're out in the community potentially spreading their disease. And that doesn't kill one or two. That may kill 50 or 100, particularly with the rise of people not vaccinating their children and the increase in the number of immune compromised people who sort of live among us because of advances in the medical system. And I just think it's sort of a neglected concern amongst the medical community, for sure.
And I should point out, for those of you who aren't regular listeners and haven't heard Ed call the show before, Ed is a physician, so you know of which you speak. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, one of the reasons that we have ports of entry and border controls, and that we call it an inspection. This is a word that goes back decades in American law.
Right.
You are inspected at the border. Inspected means two things. It means you are asked questions, and you are asked whether you have the appropriate papers to enter the United States. And it also means that you are literally inspected if there's any health concern.
The classic example is, back when Ellis Island was an active port of entry, they had the immigrants walk up and down stairs all around the building looking for any physical infirmity that might indicate the presence of a disease that would require them to be treated before they were released in the community. And it's tragic that, individuals are killed by, drunk drivers and murderers and things, but the potential is there, and whether or not it happens, the level at which it's occurring now, because people don't go looking when someone dies from a communicable disease. They tend not to go looking for the source, particularly for TB,
mm-hmm.
because it's this thing that the CDC has warned about it, but I guess the CDC doesn't get into the regular press.
Yeah, if the CDC said something that Democrats or hardcore liberals were concerned about, you'd be sure they'd be crowing about it. But when the CDC says that suggests a problem with illegal immigration, the press ignores it.
Funding for the Zika virus, they were all up into the CDC needed one more funding for that, so they were all over the Republican Congress. Why were they, not giving money for this terrible disease? Well, this is another problem. My second question is, and sort of alluded to by your previous caller, how do you see this happening if Trump gets in and says, if you are a sanctuary city, you lose federal dollars? Will it be the same sort of hue and cry as when the Republicans threatened to shut down the government, that, that the sky will fall, there'll be this disaster, all because this mean Mr. Trump wants to force these good people out of the country? I mean, that seems like is the political will there to suffer those sort of slings and arrows that may come with denying federal funds to sanctuary cities?
I think the political will is there, and I think the setup is different, because the sanctuary cities, the denial of federal funds, may represent only 5% of the city's budget, but the denial of the funds will make that building of the off ramp on the interstate highway impossible, or it may make it impossible for one of the city's agencies to expand in the way it wants. And so it won't shut down any city. No city has 50% of its money coming from the federal government that I'm aware of.
Our free school lunch programs, are they run through the federal government, that's what came to mind when I thought.
But the school districts wouldn't be a sanctuary jurisdiction. They do receive federal funds, but they are usually distinct from the city. Now, if you did have, and there are some places in the United States where the county and the school district are merged, most most of the country is not like that, but there are a few states where they do that. But so it wouldn't, I doubt it would affect any schools, but it would certainly affect, you know, cities and municipal money and county money for certain projects. And so that's why it's not going to shut anything down. I mean, no one can say, oh, you know, by taking away a few million dollars from San Francisco, the Trump administration is somehow threatening American lives. It's just going to threaten the budget of that city, and that's where these liberal city councils and mayors, they feel the pinch, because they always want to spend money, and they want that federal trough so they can feed at the federal trough. So I think it'll work. I think it really will work. Well, hey, Ed, thanks for the call. Right, thanks, always Chris. Great to hear from you. Folks, you're listening to the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
KCMO.
Every year, Steve Faircal climbs the stairs at the John Hancock Center in Chicago, 94 floors to the top.
It's called the hustle up the Hancock.
It's hard to believe when you watch Steve today that a few years ago, his lungs were failing and he was fighting to survive.
For 8 hours a day, someone was pounding on my chest to try and keep my lungs clear. I honestly don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received the gift of life, a double lung transplant made possible by an organ donor.
After I got my new lungs, I started doing things that I had never been able to do. I never knew that breathing could feel this good.
Steve climbs to honor his donor and to raise awareness for organ, eye, and tissue donation.
Wouldn't you like that when you left this beautiful planet, that you could save a few lives on your way out? It's an incredible gift.
Imagine what you could make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
We will never fully understand what we've asked of our military service members, of their families, or their children, asking them to deploy, patrol, stay on watch, on point, asking them to put themselves in harm's way, to endure it all. But we do understand that it's our turn, our duty, to bring them all the way home, to keep them secure, to have their backs for the rest of their lives. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs do whatever it takes to help our most severely ill or injured veterans live independently at no cost for life, so that they might stand at ease. Find out how you can help at findwwp.org.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking, but no, my friend. I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Gerald McRaney. Is there anything you wouldn't do to live longer or feel better? to make a few simple changes in your lifestyle if you knew it could save your life? Take cholesterol. A high blood cholesterol level can cause strokes and serious heart disease, but exercise and simple changes in your diet can reduce cholesterol and make you feel better.
For your free booklet, visit the Will Rogers Institute at wrinstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter. The Will Rogers Institute, since 1936.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Why don't you talk into the microphone? I got a backup mic right here. Check, 1, 2. Testing, testing.
KCMO, Kansas City.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710, where the number is 576-7710. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the problem of sanctuary cities, the horrific case of yet another, this time pair of Americans dead at the hands of an illegal alien, hit-and-run accident, eight-time previously deported felon illegal alien. And also talking a little bit about the Knightstown, Indiana ACLU attack on the cross on top of the Christmas tree. All right, let's go back to the phones. Happy to talk about whichever of these topics you'd like to discuss. Next up is Mike and Shawnee. Hey, Mike, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Hey, Chris. I want to ask you, would I have any legal recourse against one of these sanctuary cities or counties like Johnson County if I became victim of an illegal alien?
Yes. So that's you just added the important predicate. If you have been individually injured, this is the key of standing that a previous caller was mentioning. If you have been injured in some specific way to you and you alone, it doesn't have to be you alone, but that distinguishes you from the rest of the residents of the city or the county, then yeah. So let's suppose that an illegal alien protected by Johnson County sanctuary policy ran into you and injured you or, injured someone in your family or something like that, then absolutely you would have a specific injury caused by the illegal alien who was encouraged to remain in Johnson County or whatever jurisdiction by the sanctuary policy. So, yeah, if you've been injured in a specific way, then you would have standing to sue.
Would I sue the county commissioners or the sheriff's department, or who would I sue?
In the case of Johnson County, my understanding is that the sanctuary policy was adopted by the sheriff's department. So, and is implemented by the sheriff's department. Although it depends. In some counties in America, you would sue both the sheriff's department and the county because you have a tacit acknowledgement and furtherance of the sanctuary policy by the county commissioners.
Well, that's good to know, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I hope it never comes to that. And of course, we already have one Johnson County and a sheriff's deputy whose life was lost in a sanctuary county. And it's, hopefully there will never be cause for a lawsuit. And hopefully Johnson County will get rid of the sanctuary policy. We'll see what the new sheriff decides to do. I hope he decides to cooperate with ICE. That would be a nice change, and that would be what the other 99 counties do in Kansas other than the sanctuary counties like Johnson. All right, let's go Let's go next to Jeff in Prairie Village. Jeff, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Hey, I wanted to talk quickly about that study, the comments that Trump made that he won the election if you take out the 3 million illegal votes.
Yeah.
And it seems like that comment goes back to you, that you're the one that told him that. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not going to comment on where he – I wasn't the only person talking to him about the problem of illegal voting, so I'm not going to claim or deny it. I'm just going to simply say that I have talked to Donald Trump about the problem of illegal votes being cast, but no, I don't claim to be the one who inspired. He was speaking the truth. But anyway, what's your question?
Well, my question is, where's this, quote, truth coming from? That study, you've read the study, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And so what's the percentage of illegal alien or non-citizens in the U.S. population? What percentage roughly?
The study doesn't go to the percentage of non-citizens in the population.
Well, I'm just saying, right, what is the percentage, though?
So why are you asking
me? It's about 11. Well, because it focuses in on what the study's findings are, which are
pretty easy to see.
It's not representative because the number of non-citizens in the United States is around 11 or 12%, you would agree, right?
If you're counting illegal and legal together, yeah, it'd probably be around 12%. So it'd be, okay, it'd be in the 30 million, between 30 and 40 million, yeah.
Right. And so the number that were actually surveyed was around 1%. So to say that this study was somehow representative, right there you can see that there's a problem.
So Jeff, you think all surveys are inherently flawed then? Because no survey samples more than actually, because you were suggesting that because the survey samples a small subset of the larger population, the survey is inherently fraud. Every survey samples less than 1% of the sample. So you survey Kansas voters. You're not sampling all of them. You're sampling a tiny percent
of the survey, not 1% of the population. In other words, there were 300 people, and so
sure.
It can't be representative of the United States because the number of...
Have you ever commissioned a survey, Jeff?
No, I haven't, but...
Well, let me tell you, I am someone who commissions surveys all the time, and surveys are routinely done with 300, 400, 500 people. That's very often considered a significant number of people to draw conclusions from.
Chris, you're missing my point.
I don't know what your
point is. Right, you're missing it. So you do a survey of 30,000 that's supposed to be representative.
No. The 30,000 was of the whole population of the United States, and of the 32,000, they had this subset of aliens living in the United States, and they found that of the alien subset, 11.3% said, yeah, I voted in the 2008 presidential election, and that number of aliens was a significant enough number to draw conclusions from.
No, it wasn't. And here's another point.
Okay, where did you get your degree in statistics, Chris, Jeff? Because 300 plus is a significant number.
But because the survey wasn't generated towards people. All right, here's a fact that you haven't.
Okay, you got about 40 seconds.
Sure.
Go.
In the authors of that study looked at the data, and they found that 85 people classified themselves as citizens in one of the surveys and non-citizens 2 years later. So in other words, there's a huge factor of when you use small
data. I think you got it the wrong way around.
Sample, you create problems with people making
every survey has problems with people answering
not
incorrectly.
Like that.
Yes, they do. Every survey has problems. People either intentionally giving the wrong answer or misunderstanding the question and not knowing the right answer. At any rate, the Cooperative Congressional Election Survey is done every 2 years. This is a big deal. Tons of money is invested in. It is a very reliable survey. Anyway, all right, folks, you've been listening to the Chris Kobach Show. Tune in next week here on KCMO Talk Radio 710.